the sources of Islam and the Quran. Any Christian or a reader of the Bible, when reads the Quran, he finds a very striking resemblance of the matters. But this resemblance is often with so much brevity and short, which hampers the messages of the Bible and gives a strong feeling that the Quran, for its own explanations, requires the Bible as a commentary or as a complementary aid material. Why it is so? The answer is quite simple. All the best teaching of the Quran and all the best and useful messages of it, whether it is a cradle statement or it is the stories of the prophets or its accounts of the happenings in ancient times, are based on the Bible itself. It is therefore the opinion of some scholars of the two religions that about 2/3 of the Quranic statements are based plainly on the Bible, sometimes with some modifications, sometimes the twisting of the basic material. The contemporaries of Muhammad felt it strongly. The Quran itself refers it. The Surah 25:4 relates that the Arabs retorted saying that this Quran is nothing but a fraud which he had devised, and others have helped him with it. The commentator suggests that his name was Jabr. Some say he was Yasar. The other said nay, but his name was Ridas. It is also said that there were two Roman slaves who used to read a book, and Muhammad took interest in hearing. The other narrative is that a Christian slave by the name of Bal'am or Huwaitib or Aish assisted him. When the Meccan said such thing, Muhammad's defense was weak. He could only say that the Quran and the Holy Scriptures of the Jews and Christians are based on the same heavenly tablet. Because of this, they coincide. Between the Bible and the Quran, there are sometimes so much differences that one can conclude that Muhammad had never read it. From the Surahs 34, 43, 6, 156, and 42, 52, it is clearly evident that Muhammad learned much from the stories of the Bible and Talmud, and their Arabic version came into being in the form of the Quran. The Quran claims that it is a revelation from Allah. The God alone is held to be the source of Islam, and it has no human source. Quran 26, 192, 46, 1, 4, 84, 46, 3, 7, and 55, 4, and that the Quran could not have been composed by any other except by Allah. Quran 10:37. And a good portion of the doctrines and tenets of Islam can be traced to other faiths or sources preceding the Prophet's age, are existing at that time. Certain doctrines and practices of the Arabs in the days of ignorance maintained in Islam in the name of the faith and religion of Abraham. That is to say, that many of the ideas and customs subsisting among the Arabs from the time of Abraham were retained by the Prophet of Islam. Another claim is that Tafsilul Kitab, Quran 10:37, it is a detail of the book. The eternal nature of the Quran was denied by the Mu'tazila and by some modern Indian Muslims. Islam arose, and anyone can see that from different sources did Muhammad, the founder of Islam, obtain the religious concepts which characterize its faith and its practices. So far the faith of Islam is concerned, it consists of 6 articles. 5 of them are mentioned in the 4th chapter called An-Nisa and its verse 136. The idea of the unity of God in the form of Allah was no more anything new to the Arabs. We find that this was the original belief of the Semitic nations along with the idol worship. We learn from the Torah, Ibn Hisham, Tabari and others that the north and west of the country was occupied by the progeny of Shem. Some tribes were descendant from Yaqtan, others from Hagar, Keturah and Ishmael. Now, although the children of Shem had greatly lost the purity of their faith from mixing with the tribes of Syria, yet when all the people of those parts, except the Jews, had altogether forgotten the unity of God, still the dweller of the north and west of the peninsula retained a certain knowledge of the unity divine. In the Islamic creed, there are 3 basic elements, monotheism and the last day. The first parts of the Quran consists only these 2 ingredients. The apostleship of Muhammad was added later on. Therefore, the prophecy, apostleship, angels and wahy or revelation come under the risala or apostolate, the 3rd element. Some Arab tribes denied the future life as well as the creator, while others admitted both. Muhammad's effort in reality was to reawaken and restore what already existed among his own people. If we could accept the Abrahamic descent of the Arabs, which is difficult to prove, their ancient faith would be the faith of Abraham. Although we are told in the Bible that the doctrine of the unity as well as circumcision were of Abraham's time, yet in the Holy Scriptures we find no mention of Mecca, Tawaf or procession around the Kaaba, the Black Stone, the other holy places, etc. Nor can there be any doubt that all these things were the gradual creation of idol worshippers and had no connection whatever with the faith and tenets of Father Abraham. Whatever the base may be, during the time of the emergence of Mohammedanism, a faint glimmering of the unity of Allah still existed, at least at the bottom of the prevalent pagan creed. The belief of one God was one of faith practiced in Arabia. the shade of divine unity in Muhammad's time still subsisted among Arabs. There were multitude of gods and idols, but above and beyond them all was the old memory of one great God. Let us take the unity of Allah, the only God, Allah Ta'ala, was no more unknown to Arabs. Allah was the chief supreme deity in their pantheon, of course, with other inferior and subordinate deities worshipped only as the intercessors with this Allah. This Allah is also frequently used in pre-Islamic Arab literature and poetry. In slightly changed form of Hebrew Elohim was used in Ihlal ceremony during the pilgrimage as Allahumma Labbaik. The Arabs never held those other gods on an equality with the great God above, that is Allah. Along with the early spread of idolatry, there is still survived throughout Arabia the consciousness of one true God. Shahristani gives us a long list of the local deities and customs retained by Muhammad. Then we find a group of Arabs called Hanif. This group had rejected the idea of multiplicity of gods and had renounced the idolatry, keeping the old Arab customs, and they thought they are following the faith of Abraham. Muhammad had an intimacy with them and was at good terms with them before his claim of prophethood. There were four of them at Mecca, of whom one became a Christian, another a Muslim, the third joined Kaiser, the fourth Waraqa, a pious devotee, worshipped yearly in a cave near Mecca, and no doubt had influenced Muhammad, who used also to visit the same place for quiet and lonely contemplation. Beside all this, the idea of the unity derived great additional significance by Muhammad's contact with Judaism. Many affluent Jewish tribes were found in the neighborhood of Medina. These peoples were religious, developed, and influential. The pagan Arabs of Yathrib, Medina, were deeply influenced by the Jews. The Jews were numerous and powerful throughout Arabia, and Muhammad, having sought their conversion in vain, at last fought against them and banished them from the country. But in the meantime, he had taken much of his teachings from their books, the Talmud, their commentaries. The first Qibla was Jerusalem, and the marvelous tales thus derived cannot be read without astonishment. Al-Qus ibn Sa'idah, the bishop of Najran, had also influenced Muhammad to a great deal. The would-be prophet of Arabia used to listen him at Uqqaz, appealing on behalf of one God. The Christian kingdom of Hira, adjacent to Persia, and Banu Ghassan, attached with Rome and Yemen under Najashi, Negus, AD 525, were the Christian kingdoms which surrounded Arabia. And the personal but correct knowledge of Judaism and Christianity was at Muhammad's disposal. Many pagan Arab tribes had already embraced Christianity, or they were at least greatly influenced by Judaism. The folklores and legends connected with Zoroastrian's faith had had also its own effects. Dozens of the Quranic verses and references had to conclusions that Muhammad had a relation of friendly nature with Jews at first, with so many confirmatory verses in the Quran, which he never repudiated, nor did he deny their authority, but always regarded and spoke of them with reverence. In several passages of the Quran, Muhammad disclaims any intention of preaching or founding any new religion. He also affirms that his mission was only to exhort the people of Arabia to the purity of the faith of Abraham, of Noah, of Moses, of Jesus, and of the faith of Hanif. The scholars of the religions are of opinion that out of 99 names of Allah, 75 of them are applied to Ahura Mazda in the Avastha, the holy book of the Zoroastrians, and the remaining 24 Muhammad had borrowed from Judaism. Belief in angels, jinn, and demons taught in the Quran were taken from the Jews. Angels, jinni, and heavenly bodies adorned by the Sabians also, though they are somewhat colored by local beliefs, but some of them were taken indirectly from Zoroastrians. The idea of books is derived first from Sabians and then from the Jews and Christian sources. The doctrine of the prophets is also indebted much to the people of the books. The day of judgment and the idea of resurrection is taken from New Testament, though not directly, but through hearsay. The pictures of heaven and hell is of Talmudic Judaism plus Mazdaism, apocalyptic Zoroastrianism, and the Indian Quranic statements. The scale, Al-Mizan, the Purgatory, Al-A'raf, and Sirat are taken from the Testament of Abraham, the Jewish Talmud, and Iranian Avesta. Now something with regard to the Islamic practices. The Tashahud, the recitals of the short Islamic creed, its first part is similar to the Jewish Shema. Hear, O Israel, thy God is one Lord. The witness to the prophethood of Muhammad is clearly taken from Jesus' teaching in the Gospel, which he had applied for himself. The five times Muslim prayers is Talmudic and apocryphal, but its timing is borrowed from Sabians, while its posture is Jewish, as was mentioned above. The origin of the fasting in the month of Ramadan has a composite one. It was first the Ashura, a fast in remembrance of the Day of Atonement. The 30 days then adopted according to the custom of Sabians. The practice of Zakat is Jewish. Shahristani informs of a variety of local customs in vogue among the heathen Arabs. Some retained in Islam as family restrictions in marriages. Hajj to the Kaaba with its various practices like visiting Safa and Marwa, throwing pebbles of stone in the Valley of Mina, ablution and others. The Hajj is what was old practice ritual by Arab tribes of the pre-Islamic Arabia and a custom of the times of ignorance. At the period when Muhammad was using the utmost endeavor to turn his people from idolatry to the faith of Abraham, the Arabs had no religious writing acknowledged in common by them all, so that it was a matter of extreme difficulty to make them see the evils of their native faith. There were three religions in the peninsula, the Sabian, Jewish and Christian, each of which helped to nurse Islam. Abul Fida, the historian, relates that Sabaeun were the first people who inhabited Syria, that they derived their faith from Shaib and Idris, that they possessed a book called Sahifa-e Shaib, the pages of Shaib, in which were inculcated righteousness, truth, bravery, care of the poor, and avoidance of evil. They had 7 times prayers, 5 of which were at the same hours as chosen by Muhammad. They prayed also for the dead, Salatul Janayiz, but without prostration. Fasted 30 days from night to sunrise, observed Eid from the setting of their 5 stars, and venerated the Kaaba. Hence we can see that the Sabaeun's many observances are still in force among the Muslims.